Also, good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the commission's regular meeting of July 12, 2023. The public may listen to the meeting in real time by following the instructions listed at the top of the commission's meeting agenda, currently posted on the commission's website. In addition, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. For the benefit of the public, particularly those who may be listening to the meeting by telephone, I'll take a roll call so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present and begin with Commissioner Barry, Commissioner Einhorn.
Here.
Commissioner Fusashi.
Here.
Commissioner Goldsby.
Here.
Commissioner Hankins.
Here.
Mr. Streeter.
Here.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, here. Similarly, when the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission meeting on June 28, 2023. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the minutes of the commission's regular meeting of June 28, 2023.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll conduct a roll of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's report. I will call the docket. If you wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it, and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. First item is docket number FIC 2020-0623, Joshua Smith versus Angel Quiros, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, Mr. Smith is present.
Mr. Smith, you're present?
Yes, sir. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
FY Administrator, Council Supervisor
Seaver. You'll have to stand. I can't hear you.
FY Administrator, Council Supervisor Seaver.
What's your name?
Council Supervisor Seaver.
Councilor?
Supervisor Seaver.
Seaver?
You spell that, please?
S-E-C-O-R-E.
Thank you. All right, we'll mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0316, Ahmad Lane versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Mr. Lane is on the same call as Mr. Smith. So I would mark.
All right, we'll mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0323, Richard Quint versus Angel Quiros, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Is there anyone here on this matter? That was a failure to prosecute. I'd entertain a motion.
Oh, Mr. Quint was supposed to be on the line.
He was on the line.
Mr. Quint, are you here? Mr. Quint, are you there?
Maybe it's only one person per line.
All right, so we'll mark it ready. We'll see if they show. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0368, David Taylor versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Is anyone here on that matter?
Good afternoon. Assistant Attorney General Tricia McCooey for the respondents, Department of Public Health and Commissioner of Public Health.
Thank you, Counselor.
Thank you.
Is David Taylor there? Do you wish to be heard on this matter, Attorney McCoy?
Very brief.
Okay. Thank you. We'll mark it ready. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0337, Chris Powell versus Superintendent of Schools, Enfield Public Schools, and Enfield Public Schools. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yeah, Sarah Gleason from Shipman and Goodwin for the respondents. I don't wish to be heard, though. Just wanting to be sure.
Is Chris Powell there, please? Thank you, Counsel. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, in the matter, seeing that the complainant is not here and the respondent has no objection, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll take a roll call. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0398, Robert Cushman versus Colin Ryan, Chief Police Department, Town of Farmington, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Captain Tim McKenzie from Farmington PD.
Do you wish to be heard?
No.
Is Robert Cushman here, please? I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Streeter, seeing that the complainant is not here, there's no objection to the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Officer Chief.
Hello.
Who's this?
Richard Quint.
Okay, we marked your matter ready, Mr. Quint. We'll be with you shortly.
Okay.
Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0573, Sudhakar Varnathavan versus Chair, Board of Directors, Workforce Alliance Incorporated. Is there anyone here on that matter? That matter was withdrawn. I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, seeing neither party here, was withdrawn and dismissed. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Mr. Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Great. Very good. So before we consider the cases, I will ask the Executive Director, Colleen Murphy, to please make the usual announcements.
Sure. As the chairman indicated, these proceedings are being recorded in their entirety. There's no need to request a recording. They'll be available on our website soon after the commission meeting. If anyone has any trouble accessing that, please contact our office. And second, pursuant to our regulations, oral arguments 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Thank you. All right, we'll take the first matter that was called docket number FIC 2020-0623, Joshua Smith versus Angel Quiros, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Are you there, Mr. Smith?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay. Ms. Secor, would you like to come forward? Just have a seat.
I'm waiting for the attorney.
Oh, you were waiting for an attorney?
Yeah.
Would you like us to pass this, ma'am?
Attorney Brown's here.
Yes. Perfect time. What a sense of timing.
Dramatic.
Yeah.
Tracy, did David Rosen call you today?
No.
I gave your name to a local lawyer. I'll talk to you about it.
Okay.
All right. So will you identify yourself on the phone, please?
Joshua Smith, inmate number 223489, currently present at Cheshire Correctional Institution.
Thank you. Counsel, will you identify yourself?
Tracy Brown for the Department of Correction. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Council Supervisor Stephanie Secor.
It's really hard to hear you.
I'm sorry. Council Supervisor Stephanie Secor.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You have a soft voice. Thank you. All right. So, Mr. Smith, would you like to begin?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chairman Owen Egan. This is an ongoing issue of my FOI request, which I've done to the Department of Correction. I believe that there is no accountability in this matter. My FOI request was something that, in compliance with the FOI Commission rules and DOC, continued to just not comply by providing me the response to my FOI request, which is in the database system, because from a copy of my FOI request, which was received, it was expressed that my request has a docket number, also has a tracking number, and it has a date of receipt. So I was just trying to get a response from the commission office from such FOI request, and I've been denied that. And there's no accountability, and I turned to the commission hoping that I could get some resolve. And I'm still being denied by DOC and Attorney Brown that there is nothing in their database system as a response, which I find is impossible at this moment. So I'm just asking the commission to please intervene and allow them to provide me with the previous Commissioner Scott Simple's response to my FOI request, please.
Thank you. Attorney Brown?
Good afternoon. Tracy Brown, again, representing the respondents in this matter. We've been before the commission before about the same exact request for the same exact records. Honestly, I wish we could find something for him so that we could put this to rest. There are no responsive documents. As I said before in the prior commission decision before you, when I was before you on the prior matters, there seems to be an expectation that because an individual writes to the commissioner, that he is going to respond. There seems to be an impression that because a number was adhered to his request, that there must have followed a response. As I explained in the previous matters, the commissioner will often forward these types of requests, complaints, queries to the warden. Those are the individuals who handle these matters. There is nothing in the commissioner's office. Further, I have looked multiple times because if he insists, I'm an advocate of disclosure and I actually really appreciate the problem that he is facing, but we cannot help him. We don't have the document. Doesn't exist. It never did.
So you asked the warden if they have the document?
Yes.
And the warden doesn't have
it? No one has the record, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Did you hear that, sir?
Yes, Chairman Owen Egan. As I said, sir, there has to be, in the email, she made reference that the commissioner would have forwarded my letter or response to the facility the warden at the time. But there has to generate some type of email. There has to be some paper trail because there's a tracking number on it, which shows that it was placed in a database system for them to acknowledge it and put a tracking number on it. So for Attorney Brown and DOC to say that there's no form of response from such requests, it wouldn't be unprofessional because it would be favorable for me, and that's why I believe that it's not being provided because I need it, Your Honor. I'm sorry to call you Chairman, Your Honor. Chairman, I need those response, and it has to be there because there an acknowledgement. Without a redundancy, it's been acknowledged. So once it's been acknowledged, I know it's in the database system. That's why that's the sole purpose of putting a tracking number on top of the request, so it can be located if possible, such as now. So with her saying that it was forwarded to the previous warden from the commission, there has to be something generated behind it as a response. That's just professionalism, and that's what DOC does. They affirm fair and consistent, so there has to be some type of documentation behind it, and that's what I'm looking for.
Can I clarify?
Please.
Perhaps I misspoke, but I want to be clear. I said that is typically forwarded. I did not say that that was the case in this instance. What I did was asked the warden, did you receive anything from the commissioner with respect to his ultimate issue, which I don't want to drag out before this commission? And the answer is no. No one has any communication in writing. If there was a communication, it's possible that it was oral. There's no document. There's no record. That's what we're here about. We're here about records, and there's no record.
And before... Chairman, even if I may
interject, yes, go ahead.
My only thing is, I'm just going by what we are used to, and I know that there would not be a tracking number stamped on top of the request without something placed in the database system as an acknowledgement that it was received and responded to. So that's the only thing I'm saying. If I could see the documents didn't have a tracking number on it, that means it wasn't even acknowledged. That's an acknowledgement, and if I have an acknowledgement, it has to have something to follow up behind it.
I'll be a parrot. I'll say it again. We don't have any records responsive to his request.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions?
Well, briefly, Mr. Streeter. Attorney Brown, is it possible this tracking number he's talking to, because it looks like it's referring to the letter he may have wrote to the commissioner, not necessarily after.
Yes.
Okay, so the tracking number was his letter going in.
Yes.
And he was provided that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
No, thank you.
And entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Strigar, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Mr. Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fisashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously.
So what is passed? Because I don't understand that.
So the matter was dismissed, and so we've approved that dismissal.
Okay, and so is there any options for me other than this dismissal now?
I can't give you legal advice, but you can call the clerk's office and ask them for a copy of the record, and you might be able to speak with someone about an appeal.
Thank you. I appreciate you, sir. Appreciate all you guys.
Thank you. Do you know, is there someone else there that you can hand the phone to? Is Mr.
Yes,
Lane?
Yes, he's here. He's here. I'll give it to him.
Ahmed Lane. Okay.
Thank all right, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Attorney Brown.
Thank you.
All right. So the next matter is docket number FIC 2022-0316. Ahmed Lane versus Commissioner.
Hello. Lane, may I help you?
Okay, we're just calling your case, sir. Ahmed Lane versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Mr. Lane, you're there, correct?
Yes, I am.
All right, so we're about to begin. And then, Attorney Brown, are you here?
Yes, Attorney Brown for the respondents.
Okay, great. And then with you, Attorney Brown.
Counselor Supervisor Stephanie Secor.
Thank you. Would Attorney Brown like to begin?
Thank you. I've struggled with this case, I have to admit, on whether or not to alert the commission to an issue that, or just to ask you to adopt it. Ultimately, yes, I believe that you will adopt it, but I think I would be remiss if I didn't point out that this decision, I think the decision went too far, and I would respectfully ask the commission to consider deleting paragraphs that refer to the promptness issue. And they start at 15. And the reason that I bring this to the commission's attention is in light of the recent statutory provisions where an agency can be fined if they have been found to have a pattern of violating the Freedom of Information Act's provisions. And so this is concerning that the agency has been found in violation of the promptness provisions when promptness was not squarely at issue in this particular appeal. If you review the his complaint simply states that he is appealing the department's failure to respond to his request within 4 business days, deeming it a denial. The record shows that we did in fact respond within 4 business days, and we did not deny his request. As a recent Bridgeport decision indicated, the commission is to count the 4 business days from the time the agency receives the request. The record here is that the agency received the request on July 1. And in 2022, July 1 was on a Friday, meaning the 2nd and the 3rd were on a Saturday and a Sunday, and the 4th of July was on a Monday. The department responded on the 6th to his request, indicating that it would be sent up the chain for review. So that provision that kicks, a request into the denial phase, it's not applicable. And as that Bridgeport decision said, you've got to have a case in controversy. We don't have that here. Fine. I know the commission has had a pattern of reading broadly some of the requests, some of the complaints, because we're dealing with lay people. But in light of that new statutory provision, I think it's incumbent upon me to stand and say, it's not within the 4 corners of this particular complaint. While the hearing officer went on to investigate whether or not he actually did get the records, he did. Bears out that he did get the one record that was responsive. But then she unilaterally inserted a promptness issue. It was never in his complaint. It was not brought up at the hearing. And in the Noah Snyder case, which you all remember, the court found or stated that, you know, you can't blindside an agency with violations without giving them the opportunity, without putting it on the record, allowing them the opportunity to put on evidence. Hearing officer never asked us any questions about promptness, never inquired as to a delay, never allowed us to put on evidence with respect to what work the agency had, never inquired whether or not we were aware of the importance of the records. Mr. Ahmad never indicated that there was a time constraint on him obtaining this particular document. And so without any supporting evidence, we have been found to be in prompt violation. I'm taking big issue with this decision. If you were to adopt it, it's okay because the department has a pretty good record of complying promptly. But I just wanted to point out that in light of this new statutory provision, agencies like the department are going to be pushing a little harder when the decisions from the commission go beyond the four corners of the actual complaint. And with that, I don't have anything else to say.
Thank you. Mr. Lane?
Yes, sir. By all means, sir, can you tell me what your name is, sir?
Owen Egan.
Okay, proceed. I'm ready.
You can begin.
All right, first of all, I'd like to object to some facts and evidence, because the respondent's attorney clearly states that Mr. Lane, the complainant, has never explained the significance and the timeliness of said information I needed. There was a habeas trial pending in Rockville Court, and due to the fact of this whole concealment of documents, if I would use that word strongly, I lost that habeas trial. All right, I didn't have evidence I needed, and that's what that, and I expressed that, you know, verbally and on the actual hearing name, I may remember correctly. As far as the promptness is everything. Okay, there's no legalese way of misconstruing the word promptness. As a part of the statute, that's how that works. So clearly, the respondent's in violation, and whatever penalty you guys put forth should be sustained. And that's that. Another thing, as far as the date I asked for, which was May 13th and beyond, the 14th was a Saturday, and that's what the 2022 calendar reflects. So clearly, this respondent had no intention to even give me this stuff. It's just that I kept asking for it, and I moved on to the next level. So now, okay, well, the appeal goes in, so let's do something about it. So in those scenarios, I'm sure you're familiar, Mr. Egan, how the department works, and when it comes down to sensitive matters that will help any prisoner and litigant litigate his cases, he will be hindered. He will be hindered, and it would go even excessively into forms of obstruction of justice and other federal crimes and such. But this is not the venue for that. So clearly, I want to reflect that Mr. Lane was desperately injured due to this improperness, and I suffered that penalty in back of it. And nothing I can do about it now. I lost a very, very serious medical claim in back of that, and now my medical condition is even worse as a result of it. So I understand, Mr. the attorneys. Job is represented as a defendant by a hook or crook, but clearly the defendant wasn't prompt, and I think the ruling should stand. And with that, I close.
Thank you. Attorney Housen?
Yes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Did you have something specific for me?
Yes, could you address Attorney Brown's?
Sure. The complainant made a request for certain records generated during a certain time frame. And up to the point of the hearing, he did not get the search that the respondents did, based on the evidence at the hearing, was that they did a search, but the search did not capture the entire time frame of the request. So I received testimony from the corrections employee that came. I asked him, I tried to probe that. He was saying that he pretty much did a search for a certain time frame, although that was different from the one requested, and there were no other records that existed. So I wasn't sure how he came up, you know, to that determination. So I asked the respondents to kindly do another search to cover the entire period so that we could pin that down. When I asked the officer who came and testified, I think I have it in finding 13, he said he received the request on or about July 6th, and he didn't actually do the search until about 12 weeks after. And so the commission typically addresses the time frame when someone requests records and when they receive records. So the alternative, if the respondent's position is to be accepted, is that this commission is going to accept that a delay of 12 weeks, which was addressed. He explained that he inadvertently just, you know, forgot about it. It just got, like, lost in the shuffle.
That's not what he said, but Carrie, I'm sorry to
interrupt. Yeah, the evidence was that he, and I wrote it in finding 15, I believe. Finding 16. It is found that the delay in processing the request was due to an oversight by the FOI administrator who inadvertently had not initiated the procedure to create a ticket to commence the search. And so I actually thought that I was being very generous in addressing this matter because I could have found that the respondents violated the act by not conducting an appropriate search based on what the complainant's request was. He requested again for a certain time frame, and the evidence is that that time frame was not searched. And so I could have stopped there, but I thought, well, let me ask the respondents to do a search, submit an affidavit, and confirm that they had, in fact, done the search for the appropriate time period. So I do believe that the promptness issue needs to be addressed. And it is typically addressed because the FOIA statute says you're not only entitled to records, but you're entitled to it promptly. And there was evidence from the gentleman that testified that the request just kind of got, you know, inadvertently wasn't addressed. So it got lost in a shuffle. It was not until the hearing and the complainant pursuing it and the hearing officer pursuing it that, you know, the matter got addressed in my view. So I thought on balance that it's a very reasonable opinion. And so I would stand by the hearing officer's report and ask the commission to adopt it.
Thank you. I don't have anything else to say.
Sure. So promptness wasn't brought up. You just brought it up because you thought it was appropriate.
Well, it was.
When you say the commission, I don't. If the issue was the whole thing over a holiday weekend, the 4 days, because it sounds like that's when they appealed. And typically with DOC, it's a first in, first out kind of a judgment. It doesn't matter if it's only one record. They didn't know until they get into it. So where did this promptness come in if the testimony that we're receiving is that was never brought up during a meeting? There was no way to dispute that. You came up with this after the hearing, and there was no testimony from what we're being told as far as promptness.
He received
the
complainant received the one responsive document 12 weeks out from when he requested it.
Okay.
So the statute.
But the statute said they have to respond within 4 days, which they did. And they said they'll do a search.
The statute says they need to provide him promptly with responsive records. I'm paraphrasing.
But this is the DOC. They get a lot of.
It's two parts to it.
There is two parts, but I don't remember promptness. It didn't sound like it got brought up here.
It did get brought up because implicit in someone's right to access records is a right to access records promptly.
But there's hundreds of cases we have where we take those things into consideration. I mean,
And I did.
And that's what we're doing. And I'm saying I don't believe it. I don't think this is a promptness violation. It sounds like they responded. They appealed. It was going to, the hearing was, it was a short time between the actual request and it seems, so.
If I may, I never received the response till later, several weeks later. If I may?
But they end up getting all the records that they.
Not right this minute.
All the records that he asked.
Right, but they needed to do a second search. And it went on till the hearing.
How many thousands of times have we heard that though?
Well, I think based on the record in this case, I know you addressed a number of cases.
It could have been 1,000 records, could be one record. They responded within 4 days.
They responded, but they didn't provide him with.
They're not required to provide it within 4 days.
No, but promptly.
Yes.
So I'm saying 12 weeks was not prompt.
It could be prompt, though.
It could be.
But we don't have any testimony on that.
Yes, I do, because they said it just got lost. You can't just send a request to an agency and then acknowledge it.
But you don't know if they could have had 1,000.
They could have, but that wasn't the evidence.
It was a wide range.
Respectfully, Commissioner, that was not the evidence. The evidence is that. And typically, DOC, I mean, you see they have 3 matters on the docket today.
Yeah.
So they know how to do this.
But it's true. There's a new law in town that people can get fined for this. And we got to take things in a new light.
Well, I think, I stand by the report because.
And I respectfully understand that. But I will not be supporting the hearing officer's report.
Okay.
Attorney Goldsmith or Commissioner Goldsmith?
Yes, Commissioner Goldsmith.
So Attorney Housen, so. If I'm understanding the promptness issue from what your argument is here, he received the documents 12 weeks after the initial request, but it seems as if the promptness issue isn't the 4-day period when they received
that's a separate
the request.
Issue.
That's separate. So let's take that separate that issue aside. After that 4-day period, what in your mind would have been considered prompt based on the circumstances of the testimony that you received in this hearing? Because you're saying it isn't prompt. So what is the reason why it is not specifically prompt?
Right. So if you look at finding 17, which is really boilerplate language, the commission addresses promptness routinely. And this is the language that is typically in all of the reports. So the word promptly is defined as quickly and without undue delay, and there are factors to be considered, including the volume of records requested, the amount of personnel time needed, the time by which the requester needs information, et cetera, et cetera. So one email after doing a search that took 12 weeks to provide, in my mind, based on those criteria, is not prompt. If the evidence was that the search, elicited, hundreds of emails or numerous voluminous records, this may have been prompt, dealing with all of the criteria. But under these specific circumstances, and based on the commission's prior rulings, to generate one email and to do it in 12 weeks after not having even done a comprehensive search, I believe, based on the record, was not prompt.
And then one follow-up question, so I'm clear. So at the time when they provided him the one responsive document, which was September 29th, September 30th, September 19th, and there's so many dates on here. I'm just trying to find it. September 30th, okay. So once they provided him that responsive document, at that point in time, what you're saying is they only have conducted a limited search that only included through May 12th to May 14th, and they didn't include that longer period of time, which would have been up to June 29th, 2022.
Right, so then the record would have reflected, had they done the proper and correct search, they would have been able to provide evidence that they did a search covering the time frame that the individual requested, and they found one email. But I didn't get that evidence. And instead, the evidence was that the request, was inadvertently, I'm paraphrasing, overlooked. And so it was not until a certain time in the future that they became aware that this matter was still going forward at the commission's books, and then they're like, you know, oops. I mean, that happens. You inadvertently miss something, and then they jumped on it and immediately did a search very quickly and provided him with the one email. And again, the search did not cover the time frame.
Correct. So I just want to be clear. So when they did do that initial search actually included the email that was responsive. When they expanded the search, which this is what I want to make clear, after they had the hearing with you, before you, you asked them to expand the search. When they expanded the search, it did not yield any additional responsive.
Exactly.
Records.
I was trying to pin down that the evidence in the record was really, truly, and in fact, that only one email was located relative to the correct time frame that the search should have been conducted.
Okay. Does your report address, I'm just trying to see, because when I'm thinking about the promptness issue, is it the issue that they didn't conduct the appropriate search within the time period? Because I feel like I'm seeing three different issues here. There's the time period of when the request was first made and when they actually acknowledged it, which was July 1st when they received it, and then I guess acknowledged it July 6th. Then they somehow something happens, we don't know, there's an inadvertent error where it wasn't processed, and when they did process it, the complainant does not get his records until September 30th of 2022. So now it's going forward through the FOIA process. There's a hearing, and at that hearing with you, before you, they now have come out with the fact that the search that they conducted was not actually the search for the full period. So you ask them to do so, they do so, and it did not yield any additional records. So I wanted to put that out there because I think there's a few different issues going on. So I know I didn't make a clear question, but I guess I'm wondering, does your promptness issue that you address in the report address those three different things?
The promptness issue deals with when the respondents provided records that they have that are responsive to the requester's request. And there was a 12-week period between the request and when they provided the one email. So to clarify, there was no promptness issue being looked at beyond September through the hearing date. I allowed them essentially a second bite at the apple to go and clean that up, because as a hearing officer, I don't see my hands would have been tied to accept evidence just that they found one email based on a search that was not comprehensive. I don't believe I had the ability to do that based on the record. So I said, okay, go do a second search so you can clean that up. And to me, that was really allowing them a lot of latitude to be able to do the search and then submit an affidavit to clean that issue up.
Thank you.
So the requester did not indicate that the record was needed by him in a short period of time, did he?
I don't recall specifically that he addressed exactly when he needed it. I don't believe that his remarks today are included in the record that he needed it for a specific matter. I'm not entirely sure on that, but I know that he kept pursuing it because he said he wanted it to be, to be clear that the respondents did in fact do a thorough search based on the time frame.
I looked at paragraph 2 and I didn't see it there. That's where I would look, correct? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any
other questions?
No, thank you.
Do you wish to propose a motion of amendment? Or?
No, just, it's, a lot of these dates are confusing. It seems that The final contested case was heard on June 2nd, 2023. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm just, my mind is blown by the promptness that this commission is showing. That this was something from nearly a year ago, more than a year ago. And it just, it's coming to us now. I mean, if anybody's not prompt, it's us. When I say us, meaning the commission, the commissioners. I don't even know. I'm just opposed to the whole thing. That's why I don't know what kind of amendment I can make that would, other than just dismiss. I mean, we're talking about paragraph 15 really has, it's talking that just to go back, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Streeter, they're talking about that, in paragraph 4, by letter of complaint, July 10th, 2022, they filed with the commission. They filed with the commission just because they received the letter. So at that point, it's already going to be a contested case. And a lot of times, respondents basically say, okay, well, we'll take it up at hearing. I mean, so this was really, I don't see where there is a promise. Because they went out and they appealed the decision at the very beginning of the scenario, more than 365 days ago. So. I'm just very concerned about it.
I'm sorry, Commissioner Streeter, I missed that point. I apologize.
My point?
Saying, yeah.
That it was a letter of complaint filed with the commission on July 18th, 2022. Complainant appealed. The complainant appealed before there was, any 30 days. It was after the 4-day response that was statutorily given. So at that point, the DOC was notified that this would be a contested case.
Right.
So typically they would wait to see what happens at the contested case, and there was nothing that was provided to them about promptness other than that initial promptness, which would be that they didn't respond within the 4 days, which they did. That's the only promptness they could possibly be talking about, because if they appealed it on July 10th, they wouldn't know about the September date yet. So how is that even a promptness violation? That was the promptness violation that's being discussed. The promptness being discussed is the fact that they only received a response on July 6th. Otherwise, 4 days later, on July 10th, they're filing their appeal. Well, so if you're talking the complaint, that was the promptness violation that should have been considered, not the September date for the one document. How can you appeal on July 10th that they're not going to get a document until September?
Well, complainants routinely do that. They submit their complaint to the commission, particularly pro se, because they know if they have a short 30-day window, and if they miss the window.
We had a case not too long ago that we said you appealed too early.
Right, but that was not counsel's argument today that there was an appeal that was taken too early and that there was a jurisdictional matter.
Neither was the appeal that there was a promptness violation that they prepared for. This would have been the only promptness if then their complaint was the initial promptness response.
No, I disagree. The promptness is the 12-week period. The person made a request, agency acknowledged it timely, and then you look at the period from when it's acknowledged and when the records are actually turned over, and the volume of records, and if there is a delay, what has caused the delay. Mm-hmm. So between their acknowledgement and them turning over the records, again, there was a 12-week period. They explained it that it was inadvertent. They essentially overlooked it. And then they were prodded to say, they didn't fulfill this request, which is an obligation on the employer.
And then there were 40 weeks after that was coming to us. So what's the greater grievous promptness violation? I think it's the commission's.
But the commission definitely, took a while to schedule this, but I didn't take into consideration the commission's delay in deciding promptness. The only promptness I decided here was the date from the acknowledgement that we received your request, DOC's receipt of the request, to when DOC turned over the one email. That's it. I totally agree. The commission delay is not prompt, but that is not a part of it.
We can't remand this. There's no time left on.
So, Attorney Hausman, I understand why you made your decision. It did strike me when I read it. I thought 12 weeks was not a long time to wait because I've seen longer periods. But I understand why you wrote the decision the way you did. I think you have enough evidence to do that. But for their failure to create that ticket, they probably would have produced that record and should have produced the record.
Yeah.
So, but they fell on their sword and they said, I'm sorry, I didn't do it. I think Attorney Brown is saying, we've been good, we've been complying. When I saw,
thought I gave them a second shot at the apple to say, you didn't do the correct search, but I'm allowing you to go and do the search now.
Right. Well, that part, and that didn't yield anything. So
it didn't yield anything, which I think was good.
But it didn't, right. But I think without, I didn't think when I read it initially, it did strike me that the 12-week delay was significant. I hear that there was a habeas issue, but the complainant didn't indicate the importance of the record to him and the need for it in such a timely manner. So I think for those reasons, I'm inclined to agree with Mr. Streeter that I think the promptness issue should come out of this decision. But I understand why you did it, and I think it makes good legal, logical sense. But I accept Attorney Brown's argument. I don't think they're a constant violator. I don't think they delay or cause the requester's problems. So I just in my experience of dealing with these matters, I don't think the 12 weeks was that long. But I appreciate what you've done, and I think I understand legally what you've done. So I wanted to tell you that. Yeah. Is anybody else?
Yeah, I just...
Yeah, I have something to say as well.
One second, sir.
But my comment would be, I'm not sure I agree with Commissioner Streeter's analysis, because if he's correct, there's this enormous loophole that's been created such that promptness would probably never, ever apply again. That's it.
Right.
In other words, somebody files a request, they immediately take an appeal, and that's it. The door's closed, and now they can wait, who knows, maybe years until everything. I don't think that was ever the intention of FOI. But and so I don't disagree with your analysis, but I do agree with the chairman's comment, I guess. And this is more a subjective thing than anything else, that all things considered, considering what we usually see, 12 weeks may not be the worst thing in the world. I mean, they fell on their sword. They said they were mistaken, which is actually very, it was the right thing to do, which is nice to hear that. That sort of conduct. And I think I don't have any criticism at all of your report. I think it was excellent. And I think you really, I think some of the other things we've talked about here are sort of red herring issues, or at least not exactly the touching on the promptness issue, which you've focused on as being the single issue. It's just that I have a little bit of problem with 12 weeks. That's all. It just strikes me in the scheme of things as not being all that bad. Sorry.
This is Commissioner Hankins. I kind of agree with what everyone's saying. I don't take major issues with the report itself, but the history that I know of with, this respondent or the respondents, if promptness had been more an issue, I think. If they had recognized the fact that promptness was an issue, they would have would have been more evidence, more testimony about the massive amounts of material that they have to sift through. We went to the prisons to go look at what they have to do, and I think that the 12 weeks for them, is not bad. It's not great. I don't know if this is a habeas, but I think that the other one might have been a habeas instead, Rockville habeas, the first case. But with this, I just think that if promptness was a central issue here, there would have been more evidence by the respondents as to what they have to go through, the amounts of material, the personnel they have, you know, all the different requests and everything, and that 12 weeks might not be that bad, particularly when you contrast a number of other municipalities or government. I know this is not a municipality, but other respondents. We've had year and a half to get anything without even doing searches and stuff. So with this, I think 12 weeks, all the things being equal, is not that bad. But I do appreciate Attorney Housen's report. You know, it's a fine line.
I just thought Mr. Lane, right?
Yes.
Something you wanted to say, and then I'm following that. Okay, Mr. Lane.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to reflect that clearly it seems as if the commissioners are basically speaking for the respondent himself. As you do know, DOC has a tendency to do these things. Had I disclosed my legal strategy to the same respondent who I'm actually in court against, that would be like, you know, a waste of time. I had alerted them that I'm going to court for such and such and such, right? That would have definitely responded in a late fashion. So, you know, justice denied is justice denied. And more importantly, I'm just following the statute. I'm sorry, Mr. Inmate, following the statute. They have to follow it as well. You know, I tried to, at the hearing, I tried to go into the respondent's background as far as his training and stuff like that. I wasn't allowed. However, I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but we have custody staff here in our FOI reports, the same custody staff we're suing. So we're not comfortable with talking to these guys, explaining to the same guy who we're suing what we're looking for to FOI. We let the FOI rules state what's going on. There's federal and state rules to that, and we just hope that everybody adheres to it. But now it seems like, that's not being respected right now. And one more thing, if you look at the exhibit that I actually received several weeks later, you know, within the 4 days, past the 4 days or whatever, I had to put the appeal in because I would run out of time. If you look at the exhibit, it's a partial exhibit. It's a partial FOI report. It's partial. It's like a response. It's not even, it's like somebody's talking to somebody else, but I only have that part of it. So clearly, I can't prove that it was malicious stuff done or stuff was erased or not. I'm not even trying to accuse that. However, let's take light of that. Let's look at the actual exhibit itself. There's more information that's not been given to me. And I will get it through discovery and other means later. But right now, for the FOI Commission stands, man, I hope you guys are looking into all of that as well before you make a rash decision and you rule against the complainant. And with that, I close.
Mr. Lane, what exhibit are you referring to?
The actual response that I got from the respondent.
And when did you get that response?
Several weeks later. I guess, what, July 30th or something like that? August 30th, something like that? September 30th.
So, okay.
No, after that, actually. I got it after that. It was dated September 30th, but I got it September, October or something.
Okay. I thought I heard you say something different. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
And one more thing, I never received a reply that they will even find it or even try to find it within 4 days. That's what prompted me to have to put the appeal like I always do. I wait for a response, nothing happens, I go to the next level. So I just follow the rules. Okay, that's what I'm doing. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad you received the record. That was important. So thank you.
Well,
Mr. Fuzesha.
I would say this has been really special for me to listen to this. I've seldom heard two such perfectly argued, perfectly stated between Attorney Brown and Attorney Housen, both doing their job eloquently and with the best motivations. So I'm struggling with what to do. But I am going to suggest or vote for, if it comes up, taking the promptness provision out of this hearing officer's report, which I really am always very reluctant to, because with great respect to the hearing officers, and particularly in this case, the two arguments. But with the passage of PA 1221, which I think will be a very strong and important future part of our activities, I would not like this to be the first case following that
Whether it's applicable or not is a whole other question. But so I think it would be better to take, and all the arguments, of course, combination of those two factors, take the promptness out of it would be my more comfortable position to vote for. Any further discussion? Yes, Commissioner Goldsby.
So, I was still sort of struggling for a while, but I do echo a lot of what has already been said. I think it just comes down to the fact that it was an error, it was inadvertent, but I respect how Attorney Housen reasoned this, because when you look at how long it actually took them to process the request, once it was actually initiated, we're talking about less than 9 days. Now, I didn't hear specifically from Mr. Lane what date he needed this for. Of course, I think he said he had a habeas issue, so I don't necessarily know in that regard, but I think just based off of how everything has been mentioned and looking at it, I don't know if they had an adequate ability to really respond to the promptness argument unless it was brought up at the hearing, but I don't believe, based on what I heard, that was it, unless I'm incorrect, Attorney Housen.
It was brought up when I inquired of the witness why, and I asked specifically, why did it take this period of time from the response to when the one email was turned over? And the gentleman just fell on his sword. He said, he's very familiar. He's here a lot. He's very familiar. And so that's essentially it. He fell on his sword. And I have it in finding 15, I believe, finding 16. That was the reason for the delay. He got lost track of it, and then when he realized that this matter was still outstanding, he started the search, which, as Commissioner Goldsby accurately referenced, took a very short period of time, and was able to confirm that no additional records exist. So. I don't disagree with, anything the chairman or the commissioners have said. I mean, I've been at this for a very long time. Once I hear, the matter as the trier of fact, and I kick it up to the appropriate appellate level, it's in your hands. So I agree. I just call the shots as I see it based on the record. I think what was particularly stood out for me was that the search, had it been done earlier, if they had not missed this, would have produced the one record in a more timely manner. But as you said, what is prompt, and just to address what Commissioner Hankins mentioned, that typically when addressing the promptness issue, we do take into consideration the volume of requests that the agency has and all that, but none of that came into play. The only reason that was given was that this matter essentially fell through the cracks. There was no, this was a huge search and we didn't have, enough time. So it's unique in that sense that, yeah. That's pretty much it.
I'm sorry.
Attorney Brown.
But I respect Attorney Housen, and because of that respect, I painstakingly listened to that recording 2 times. It was over an hour. And I listened to that recording specifically seeking to find at any turn where the complainant or the hearing officer made any reference to promptness, timeliness, or any of the sort. And it was never mentioned. Mr. Campanelli made his statement on his own. He fell on his sword on his own. There was no follow-up questions from me. There were no follow-up questions from the hearing officer. And you can listen to the tape and verify that if you choose. But I insist that that is the case. I insist on bringing that up because that is the point of me raising this. We were not given notice that promptness would be an issue, either through the complaint itself, through the complainant either amending his complaint even during the course of the hearing, or the hearing officer raising promptness verbally in a due process sort of fashion way. It did not occur. I hate to refute you on that, Attorney Housen, but I listened to that tape over and over again to make sure because I've had this issue before where I've said stuff and I got zinged and it stings still even 20 plus years later. So I listened to that tape twice to make sure that I had heard the evidence correctly. And so that's my point, that we did not have an opportunity to put on evidence to support any of the things that are in Advisory Opinion 51, that we could have given the commission any evidence on why it took 12 weeks.
I disagree. I don't want folks to necessarily go listen to the tape, but the time frame up to 12 weeks came up only because I asked, because I know that's an issue as the hearing officer I need to address. And I go into a hearing with my cheat sheet. I want to know when the request was made, when the responses came in, and so forth. And so if it's not being addressed, I usually ask, so what happened? And so I believe it's in the record that it was at my behest that I asked, what happened? Why did it take this long? Considering it's one email. And that's how the gentleman fell on his sword. That's my recollection.
I hate to prolong it, Mr. Chairman, exactly. But I too have great respect for both of these lawyers here, as well as all of you. I just wanted to, just for a second, tie up sort of a legal issue about promptness. Now, if somebody says I was denied access to public records, we get to a hearing, we're going to look at the statutory provisions that guide that. Person is entitled access to inspect or obtain copies of records promptly. It's not implicit, it's direct in the statute. So any case you take up, that's, to me, that's in play. And whether the word prompt was used at the hearing, I don't think is particularly critical. It does sound to me like Attorney Housen, she was getting at some of those factors, maybe not all of them, and not to satisfy, you know, the legitimate concerns that you've raised today. But I just want that to be clear, that promptness should always be at issue. An agency should always be on guard. If they're looking at the statute, they're going to say, did we provide the records? And B, did we provide them promptly? Because it's a twofold requirement in the statute. So to not be on notice about that in any given case, I don't think that's really appropriate. And I just don't want us to go down that road. We're requiring plaintiffs who don't necessarily have the statutes or the background that we all have. They're saying, I didn't get access to records. We are going to look at our statutes. We're going to look at the two rules involved there and see whether they were complied with. In any fact, Kate, you know, any fact situation you can determine, as Attorney Housen said, you know, it hit her one way, it hits you all another way based upon the great arguments here today. But I think promptness should always be viewed as in play by an agency who is on notice that somebody's saying I was denied access to records.
Thank you, Attorney Murphy.
And the promptness requirement isn't vitiated at the point where somebody takes an appeal.
Attorney
still continues. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
Right.
Sorry, do you wish to make a motion?
Yes, I'd make a motion. I would move that paragraphs 17, 18, 19, 20, and the relief sought be deleted.
She said 15 to 16.
No, I was going to say 15 and 16 sound like they're not a finding. They're just sort of facts. I would yield if anyone feels differently, but it sounds like those are just factual.
I interrupted you.
Sorry, no.
I could suggest an alternative if you don't want to go like the deleting of all of the paragraphs route. I mean, you could do the reverse and say that under the facts of this case, the 12-week delay was prompt. So you could address the issue, but find that it was prompt here, and then dismiss the complaint.
And just in other words, to do that, we probably could just do it in paragraph 18.
To do that, I think you would change 18, take out the word not, and I would suggest adding under the facts and circumstances of this case, and then delete paragraph 19. In paragraph 20, instead of where it says violated, we would add did not and change the word to violate. Promptness provisions.
And then recommend the complaint be dismissed, I guess.
Delete paragraph 1 and replace it with the complaint is hereby dismissed.
I would make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Again, I will say that both attorneys did an excellent job. I understand both arguments. So thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to say for the record, Tracy is my mentee. I'm absolutely proud of her. She was officially assigned to me by the former executive director of this commission. So good job, Tracy.
So, good job. Good job, both attorneys. Thank you. So thank you. Any further discussion?
Yeah. That's the kind of civility that I show more in court.
That's what
too.
We do.
I've hardly ever seen it.
That's great.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
On the amendment, yes.
Commissioner Fuzeshi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes, on the amendment. So now we need a motion on the
I would move the decision as amended.
Thank you, Commissioner Einhorn. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Streeter. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor of the decision as amended. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Goolsbee?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Mr. Lane, thank you very much for your patience. I bet you didn't realize it was going to generate that much discussion.
Well, it's not over yet, so of course it's going to be a good record. So yeah, thank you for that.
Okay, well, thank you. Have a great day.
All right.
Is there someone after you, sir?
Quinn.
He's
on another line.
All right. So we'll move to docket number FIC 2022-0323, Richard Quint versus Angel Quiros, Commissioner, State of Connecticut Department of Corrections, and State of Connecticut Department of Correction. Richard Quint, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. And we have Attorney Brown here.
Yes.
Supervisor Stephanie Secor.
Thank you. Here. So, Mr. Quint, this was a dismissal for failure to prosecute. Would you like to begin, sir?
Yes. I failed to prosecute because I was trying to have Attorney Tracy Brown recused because she provided perjured affidavits to go out one of the other hearings I had prior to this. And then she started threatening to have me put back in the cell and everything else like this. So I was like, well, I wasn't going to be threatened by people that I was supposed to be having a hearing with. And I have never been provided with any of the documents that I've requested. You know what I mean? I was trying to get a continuance on this hearing here today also because I requested the minutes from last hearing. And I was going to provide affidavits and the other stuff where I could show that she perjured, that she provided perjured tests, perjured affidavits in the prior hearing and everything else like this to show how I wanted her to be, why I wanted to have her recused at the last hearing. And that's what the only thing I was being interrupted about. Then I was being threatened to have the officer that was over here doing the hearing that was in the room with me when I was doing the hearing to put me back in my cell. And I'm like, well I'm not going to deal with this.
Okay.
You know, but they didn't provide me with any of the documents. I was looking for the master menu by Robert DeVoe, the dietitian, with all the caloric breakdown of all the different items on the menu, because there's like four or five different therapeutic diet menus, like a 2,000 calorie diet, a 1,500 calorie diet, and there's like a 3,000 calorie diet. I wanted a breakdown of how many calories each item on the menu that the dietitian, Mr. DeVoe, would have to make to, otherwise how are you going to know what items make how many calories each item has to make up the different meals for different diets and stuff.
All right. So we're just going to deal with the dismissal for failure to prosecute. So I appreciate your argument, sir. Attorney Brown?
I urge adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Thank you. I'd like to hear from Attorney McGee, the hearing officer.
Hi, Mr. Chairman. Danielle McGee, I'm the hearing officer that was assigned to this matter. Essentially what happened in this case was Mr. Quint elected to hang up on us. He hung up the phone. We convened for about 30 minutes, and from the very beginning, Mr. Quint was extremely combative. He was interrupting me, interrupting Attorney Brown, accusing her of perjuring herself in a prior unrelated case. I did my best to explain to Mr. Quint what we were prepared to address the day of the hearing, which was not this prior case, that he should, you know, I gave him an opportunity to put his objections on the record. He continued to belabor on about issues he had with the prior case with Attorney Brown. He accused me of lying at one point in time. And so at every interruption, every agitation and expression that he had about what he was concerned with, I let him put his concerns on the record. But he continued to become more and more agitated, which I think is what prompted Attorney Brown to tell Mr. Quint, you can be removed and returned to your cell if you continue to, you know, behave in this manner. I certainly could not conduct a hearing because of Mr. Quint's behavior. We didn't hang up on him. He elected to hang up on us, essentially.
Well, I was trying to have Attorney Brown recluse herself from the hearing.
Sir.
And then she threatened to have me put back in the cell.
So, sir, I'm going to ask you to just refrain. Okay. You had your opportunity to speak. We'll give you another one, but just be quiet for now, please.
Okay.
Yes.
And so when Mr. Quint hung up, I had expressed to Attorney Brown and her witness who was before me that it would be my recommendation that I would dismiss the case for failure to prosecute since he decided he did not want to participate at that point in time. Attorney Brown asked if I would allow the respondents to put on evidence as to what they actually had done in this case, and I allowed them that opportunity, and that's reflected in the report, that they did conduct a search for records, that they were able to locate some documents that they believed fell within the scope of the request, maybe not exactly what Mr. Quint was looking for, but they gave him records. And so...
They gave him
records.
They gave him records.
He may dispute that they're responsive, but they did do a search and they did provide records. I've sworn testimony to that fact. And he had his opportunity to cross-examine the witness on that testimony, but as I said, he hung up on us.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions? All right, sir, what would you like to say?
They didn't provide me with the records I requested, first off. Second off, the only thing I was saying, I never questioned to say that she was the hearing officer was lying to me. The only person I said that was lying was Tracy Brown because she provided a perjured testimony prior to the hearing, which I provided those documents to Felicia Harmon, the ombudsman. So there is a record of this perjured testimony. Now, if you perjured yourself once, you lied to me once, why am I going to believe anything else you tell me?
Thank you. Do any other commissioners have any questions? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankin, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeshi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan? Yes. Passes unanimously.
Well, can I please put it on the record that I feel that I'm very prejudiced because the last two hearings I heard you talk was how much the hearing officer, everybody else loves Attorney Brown. I just feel that there's being prejudice against me in favor of Attorney Brown.
Okay.
Just like a duly noted for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Quint. It's on the record. All right. Have a great day.
Yep.
Take care. Okay. So before I call the next one, we have FIC 2022. The Department of Correction is referenced there, but on the title, Attorney Murphy, it's all the Department of Public Health. Is there a typo there, or am I misreading that?
It's not me, so thank you.
Not you.
No.
Thank you.
I'm guessing that's a typo in the agenda, that it is Department of Health.
So should I read the title of the case, or should I read what's on the agenda? Or both? Should I read both? Okay. So I'm proceeding with docket number FIC 2022-0368, David Taylor versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Public Health, and State of Connecticut, Department of Public Health. And Corey, I think, is here on that matter.
Yes, and when I said brief, I mean brief.
That's great.
Good afternoon, Commissioners.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Good to see you. I fully support the proposed hearing decision. In short, the complaint was filed with the commission before the Department of Public Health had even received the Freedom of Information request. So I think it's a very straightforward issue that there's that this matter ought to be dismissed on that basis. So, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Did we properly read the title of that case? It does not include the Department of Corrections, right?
No, the complainant is an inmate at the Department of Corrections. So, but the respondents are public health and the Commissioner of Public Health.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Would you wait? Do you want to wait for the vote?
I would.
Okay. You never know.
Is there a vote?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Street, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none. I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi.
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan. Yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Counselor. Great job. All right.
Cases. Okay, I'll ask the chairman to come up and report pending appeals. We have a new appeal.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. We have one new appeal filed by Mr. Lindquist. I think you'll remember Mr. Lindquist came here and had filed a complaint against UConn. Mr. Lindquist is a former professor at UConn. The case was dismissed because Mr. Lindquist did not appear for the hearing. So the recommendation was that the case be dismissed for failure to prosecute. The commission adopted that recommendation, and Mr. Lindquist filed an appeal in Rockville, which is interesting. So we're going to move it over to New Britain and take care of it from there. That's all we have. That's new.
Why did he file it?
Not quite sure. Maybe that's closer to where he lives. He also didn't.
So it was moved because of venue?
No, it has to get moved to the Tax and Administrative Appeals Court in New Britain. No matter where it's filed, there's a standing order on that. I think that he may have been closer to Rockville. I'm not quite sure. And he also didn't serve the commission. He served the AG. So there's some problems with the case that'll probably be dealt with in a motion to dismiss.
Did you talk about how it wasn't in a mailbox?
Yes, okay. And the appeal goes into the whole
right,
mailbox.
Was snowing out or something? Or
that he doesn't like to check it very often, et cetera. Right.
Yeah.
And remember, that's the only new one. Okay. Yeah, so thank you.
Okay, nothing specific under executive director's report. Under staff reports, we have attorney Nick Samara on board. He's back there with the wave.
Came for the whole meeting. That's pretty cool.
And Makia, are you still there too?
Yes, oh, there she is.
And then I just want to introduce Makia, secretary out front now permanently. Lucky her. So, and I thought it would be helpful for Makia to now see how you all operate and see the results of all the good work she does up front, bringing in the mail and everything. So that's all I have on that. Under legislative report,
just to confirm that, I sent out a report last night. I just wanted to make sure the commissioners got it. If not, I can send a hard copy.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Good job.
Say it was a labor of love, but Paul did a lot of work on that. And
I would commend the report, but also, I don't want to read it into the record, but page 12, the acknowledgments, really showed the number of people that worked on it, and in fact also cited the specific legislators who were understood the arguments of that. And so I recommend that. The final page of the report for everyone to read if they haven't gotten to it.
If you have any follow-up questions, just reach out to us on that. And we will distribute that. We'll have it on our website. We'll distribute it maybe over the legislature. And we'll have to think about beyond that. It goes to the Connecticut Council on FOI, probably the Connecticut Foundation for Open Government. So we'll try to make that. Thank you, Paula, for putting it together. I think that's it. That's all
I have for you today, unless you have anything to say.
Mr. Streeter, motion to adjourn.
Mr. Hankins, second.
Motion made, seconded. I'll take a roll call. Those in favor, Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Gazeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. We're adjourned. Thank you all. Thank you.
Oh, briefly.